And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It's a Wednesday, June the 6th, 2018. A little cool outside, but not bad at all for early June. It is still spring. 13 minutes past the hour, we're joined in studio by Barbara Wagner, as we are each and every Wednesday from 12:15 to 1 o'clock, taking your phone calls on anything. She is a medium, psychic. 740-383-9944. All topics are always on the table. Love life seems to be the big one that we've had in the weeks past. Make contact with somebody who's no longer here. What do you think's going to happen in your future? Anything you would like to ask from 12:15 to 1 o'clock, 740-383-9944, right here on WWGH Radio. And if the phone is busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Barbara, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's always good to have you back. Last week, our conversation with Terry Tackett was here with us. And it went back to love, because we had another call last week about love. And we've talked about this, but why is that the one? Why is that resonating even above right now making contact with people who are no longer here?
So from a perspective on my side of the table, God wants us to promote love and love one another and be in spaces of sharing that. And so that can take a lot of different forms for different people. And so for people who are feeling like they're missing out romantically, they always want that reassurance, you know, that love is around the corner or in their future. And so I can save a few phone calls, although they're lovely to get. It's open and available to everybody if you just put your focus there. If you don't want your focus there, that's fine too. There's other ways to serve and show love and kindness to other people.
Well, it's interesting because I find it fascinating that people aren't really concerned with their careers. I don't think we've had much of that. People aren't concerned with their health, not much of that, but their love life. That is where it is. That's what they want to know the future of.
So it kind of varies in private practice when people come to me, what they're looking for. A lot of times they'll have a career intersection when they start to get more in touch with their inner self, and they'll find out that they're not so fulfilled in what they're doing outside. When they go to work every day, it's just not fulfilling. It's just a job, you know. And so there are people who absolutely love what they do, and they really look forward to going to work and working towards goals. And then there's other people, it's just drudgery. And so at some point, they start to question, what am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? And that can lead to like a spiritual crisis where they want help kind of sorting it out.
What, don't you think, though, even if you don't like the job, you can change the situation?
You can, absolutely. That's a really great point. And that applies to so many areas of our lives. Changing your thinking. You know, there's a saying, you know, change your story, change your life. And so if you are always whining and complaining, you're just going to stay in that mode, and that's all you're going to see around you to reinforce your belief. If you change your belief and believe that happiness can come to you, and you start to develop a confidence and exude a happiness yourself, you're going to attract people like that.
Now, do negative people attract negative people?
Yes.
Why is that?
To reaffirm their belief.
So if somebody's a downer, they will like other people who are down?
You just want to validate that the experiences that you had in the past either weren't your fault, or, you know, you want other people to say, yeah, I went through that too, you know. And so instead of seeking out people that said, you know, I went through that, but I overcame it, and now I'm doing this and that. You know, that can seem really hard when you are really upset about something. It can seem really hard to think about the other side and happiness because you're still in that negative space of feeling. And so this is where, you know, doing what I call the inside work, working on yourself and really separating emotions from fact, you know, so that you can move on and have a happy life, because that's what we're supposed to be doing.
So that's the goal of life, is to lead a happy life.
Yeah. You know, we are put here to enjoy everything the earth has to offer. And there's so much that this planet literally has to offer. And we get so narrow with our focus, you know, going to work, paying bills, take care of the kids, get up, do it again, do it again, do it again. What do I have to plan for in my future? And all the stress and anxiety, instead of just stopping and saying, you know, it's been a really long time since I went to that really nice park up the street and just sat there with a coffee and breathed in the fresh air, or stepped outside into my backyard, or, you know, I mean, even just people watching sometimes can be fun, right? So, yeah, we're really just meant to slow down and enjoy what's given to us and promote love and kindness.
And where do people lose that? Because when you're born, you know, you're tabula rasa, you're a blank slate.
Right.
So at what point do you decide you're going to be angry? At what point do you decide you're going to be pessimistic?
Those are experiences that we go through and we attach emotion to. And so until you learn the process of detachment, which is nothing more than saying that event happened and I don't have to hold an emotion to it anymore. It's just something that happened. It's not who I am. It doesn't define me. I don't need to hang on to it. And so people don't want to let go, because then they don't know who they are without that, because they feel like that's part of their life story, when in fact, it's just something that happened. There's tons of things that happen in our lifetime. Think about how many different things go on during a day that you don't attach emotion to, but you could. You know, so once you learn the process of detachment, it really helps.
What I think's interesting is when people are doing whatever they're doing, let's say cooking or driving, when people do it a few times and I'm no good at that.
Yeah.
I'm just not any good at that. And they stop doing it. And maybe it's because it was giving them no happiness, or they just didn't like it, or maybe they just simply weren't good at it. For things like that, we say, okay, that's okay.
Right.
But for life experiences, we don't say that. We say, well, stick it out at your job. You'll find the right one. You know, it's good to be married. You don't want to grow old alone. You can't have those epiphanies in your own life.
So, right. And that's kind of an important point, because it's easy to fall back on cliches, and they're very generalized statements. And everybody that's going through something, it's an individual experience. So you could have 10 people in a room and they all lost a loved one in the past year, but they're all experiencing grief differently. And so, you know, cliches don't really fit that. And so if you think about all the things that go on in your world, having cliches, all that does is box you in. You know, you might want to try to think outside the box, and you can't, because you're used to the narrow focus and people are throwing cliches at you. If you really stop and think about it, cliches are judgment, right? So you don't need to judge my life. I'll take care of it. Thank you very much. And it might not look like what you want it to look like.
We ended last week, we ran out of time, in a conversation where you were talking about when you met your husband's sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you said that she, well, tell the story again so we can catch up on this, because I think you and I had a differing opinion of this.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I'm airing personal laundry.
Well, no, you did it last.
Well, we weren't on the air when we talked about it, but that's okay.
We weren't.
No, but that's okay. Talk about it. Yeah, I'll talk about it. It's fine. So my husband and I were planning our wedding, and she made a comment, you know, about, well, are you sure you want to get married? And I took it personal. And so it took me a really long time to get over it, because I thought that meant she didn't like me.
Right.
When in fact, all she was saying was, you know, you've only known this lady like a year and a half, and you know, you don't have to do that nowadays. You don't have to get married. And so what was unsaid, I never tuned into, because I just automatically jumped to a conclusion and took it personal.
I cannot. Are you sure we didn't talk about this?
Yes, I am, but that's okay.
No, I'm really, because this is me. This is a judgment. Because maybe my brain is going, because I remember that we started a conversation because I told the story about the letter
right.
I had sent.
Right.
And we talked about that on the air, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. But we never got to this.
No, it's okay. So.
Well, no, I feel bad now because I thought we did talk about it.
Don't feel bad. No, I mean, I don't have anything to hide.
God, that's awful.
No, it's not.
No, I just that I don't remember it. That's awful.
It might be helping somebody.
I've slipped into senility.
You're okay. You know, seriously, maybe the reason we're talking about it right now is that it's meant to help somebody that's listening.
Well, I remember the conversation that we did have.
Right.
Was I did not think that was a rude comment.
Right.
Because
right.
I thought that a lot of times. People are afraid to get out of relationships.
Right.
And especially when your toes are up on the line and you're about to get married.
Right.
It's not a negative toward the person they're marrying. They're just saying, I know you have never been married. I know you've been squeamish about this in the past. And just to let you know, there's still time to get out of this.
Right. So, again, this is a great example, actually, of how we take things personal and then you can... you know, maybe hold on to it, and it might ruin your perspective for the rest of your life, and it doesn't have to, you know. So detachment is important, because what detachment says is, I'm going to allow the other person to have their thoughts and feelings, but I don't have to accept them as fact for me.
But do you to this day take that as a negative, what she said?
You know, now that I've worked through it, no.
Yeah, because I honestly, if I was there, I would not think that was negative.
Right. I mean, it's just like, okay, say somebody decides to go to college, you know, and maybe they've graduated high school and they've worked for several years and now they want to go back to school, but they've chosen to go somewhere far away. And so then you have someone who says, why would you leave all your friends and family in your support group? Are you sure you want to do that? That's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of pressure with school anyway. So then what the other person might be feeling is, I chose this college for a reason and you're not supporting me. So that's kind of how things work in life. And and unless you can really step back and let go, you're going to have some issues.
Well, this all started with the story that I told, and to condense it, I had some family members, a cousin, who was getting married, and my family was going to the wedding. I couldn't go to the wedding, so I bought a really nice card, but I wrote something in it just trying to be light, because I just didn't want to write, you know, congratulations, da-da-da-da-da,
right.
Because I kind of felt, since everybody else was going, that... I don't know. I don't think I felt guilty for not going, but I thought, well, maybe this will give me a presence there in some way.
Right.
And I signed it. After all the, you know, things that are in the card, I put, sorry I couldn't make it to this wedding. Hope I'll make it to the next one. So, or I'll try to make it to the next one, I think is what I... Now, this has been 15 years ago, maybe even longer than that now. Maybe close to 20 years ago. But it went over horribly to the point as to where my uncle, the father of the bride, called me and was threatening me that night because she was crying.
Oh.
And it took a long... I don't even know if we're still really over that. Thank God they don't live close. Because I think that still, but I still contend that because I did not have malicious intent,
right,
that I will not apologize for that. I'm sorry that it caused them distress, but I'm not sorry I did it. I would probably do it again, because I think other people might take it differently.
Right. So, and that's a good point. I mean, not everybody gets a joke. You know, some people will hear something and they'll get super offended by it, where another person might hear it and laugh. And so we're all taking in these experiences. And again, we're meant to overcome them and not hang on to them.
But I think that is an example of that last minute fright. because I think on the best day of your life, when so much has went into it, you're marrying the person you want to, your family's there, his family's there, you're all dressed up, pictures, that my card could really do that much damage to you is really, to me, I hate to say this, but it's a point that maybe you had some doubt yourself.
Well, the bride may have been going on not very much sleep with all the preparations, you know, and then she felt like that wasn't supportive, you know, and
I don't know if it was or not.
Right. I mean, but
was it negative? I didn't mean it negative.
No, but you aren't allowing for what her point of view may have been at that time, because it was never really explained other than she was crying and they called and yelled at you.
I wish I knew where that card went.
In the fire.
At one point, somebody had it.
Yeah. Oh.
Because there was another family member living down there at the time, and I remember she said they threw it at her and said, you know, look what.
Oh geez. Yeah. Oh geez. Well, there's
they
no
went
sense.
Overboard.
Right. There's no sense in perpetuating it either.
No, but they went overboard.
You know, so something else my guides are asking me to bring into the conversation actually is toxic relationships, which are different. They look different, you know, and so that is years of ongoing abuse. And so you can even apply the detachment to that. Because when you have been traumatized and abused for X amount of years, it's really hard to get out of that drama cycle. And one of the ways to do that is to practice detachment. And detachment is also practiced in the 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous. Sometimes they don't do a very good job telling you how to do it. You know, you're like, what is this detachment and how do I do it? Kind of a thing. But once you realize it's just taking the emotion out of things, it's like a little trick, a little light bulb that goes off for you, so that when you start to get triggered and your emotions rise up, you can just settle down and say, okay, I don't have to accept that. That emotion's not serving me right now. I'm not going to deal with that emotion at the moment. And just relax into your space.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and I think the concept is there. We are getting a call. You're on with Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi, Barbara. I was just, you had any feelings about me or, you know, anything coming through that maybe, I don't know, that I should know or anything. I don't know how to really go about this.
That's just tune into what they give me at the moment and go from there and see what happens.
Okay.
I need a first name. If you don't want to give me your first name, just make up a name, and that just gives me a second to send my guides to tune into you.
Lance.
So I don't know why they're showing me this, but they're showing me you like floating on a river or doing whitewater rafting. I don't know if that's something you're thinking about. Oh, you know how some people go floating in the river in the summer and they've got their beers in the cooler and it's just a good time mm-hmm. with friends.
Right.
So they're kind of showing me that right now. And they're also saying that you need to lighten up a little bit. So I don't know what's been going on in your life, but they want you to go out and just have some enjoyable experiences.
Okay. Right.
So I'm kind of feeling like I'm squeezed two different ways. Like it's either two people coming at you or two different situations and you're being squeezed. There's a lot of pressure for you. And so this is one way to alleviate pressure, is to find some space outside of those situations. Does that make sense?
Right. That makes sense.
Oh, good. Okay. So they're doing a good job. They're wanting you to just lighten up, because it doesn't have to be all stress. Sometimes, again, we get a really narrow focus, and we have a hard time thinking outside of it. So I would look for some fun things to have going on this summer for you.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense, to be honest.
Okay, good. Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, but I mean, it's weird because I do got it. couple things that's, you know, it's very stressful going on. So
yes, it's almost like you're in a room and there's two different walls and they're coming closer and closer. And so it feels like things are going to near an end because eventually they're going to crash into each other and something's going to have to come. I'm not sure there's really anything you can do about it except let it happen. They're also talking about a friend from the past cropping back up, and that'll happen at weird times in our lives. People will show up just when you need them. And so someone may get in contact with you, and you may decide to go do something with them that, that is enjoyable also.
Awesome. Awesome. Wow. Wow. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. So keep your chin up, okay, because it won't last forever.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you'd like to talk with Psychic Barbara Wagner, that's all you have to do every Wednesday from 12:15 to 1 o'clock here on WWGH Radio. 740-383-9944 is the number. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. That's interesting because I think a lot of people have conflicts.
Right, right. And so you just have to remember, you know, nothing lasts forever. We put a lot of effort and energy, emotional energy, into something that's going on right at the moment. But if you look past to the past of your life, you can say, well, I went through this, that, and the other. I mean, you come through it, good, bad, whatever, but you did come through it. So it is a good reminder that, you know, when we feel boxed in and desperate, that's not how it's always going to be. So before we came on the air, we were talking about Kate Spade a little bit and how sad that was. And
the designer who committed suicide yesterday in New York.
And so I saw something that really spoke to me on the internet where somebody said, people don't understand that depression are thoughts that control you. And you can't control your thoughts when you're in that sad of a space. And, you know, part of that can also be applied to some things we go through in our life because we stay so focused on it. And we get in this, you know, I keep thinking of the vinyl records on the turntable and they just keep going around and going and around and going, and we're not making any progress. And so we're really meant to step away from, you know, the record player and go into another room and leave that all alone. I mean, we have to evolve and get beyond the things that happen to us.
An epiphany came to me this week, and I was going to write about it on Facebook, but then I thought, it's kind of complicated. But really not, when you get right down to it. I saw a post the other day that somebody had done, and somebody posted something negative about the post. And I thought, you know, you have a choice. Not everybody likes everybody, and not everybody likes everybody's opinion. So being silent, I think, is better than attacking somebody in an open forum. So praise somebody, that's fine. I understand that. Or I agree, that's good, or this is a good idea, or I'm going to share that. I get that. But I don't understand why even if I didn't like something, and I read a lot of things I don't like, I would not put a negative comment on it. And I don't know what drives that. Because I would think silence would be a better way to go. You're on with Barbara. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling to talk to the medium.
She's here.
Okay.
Hi, how can I help you?
I was just calling to see if there's anyone trying to come through to talk to me.
So, can I have your first name, please?
Alice.
Alice, hi. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay. So, give me a second just to tune in. So, there's one side of your family. Now, I'm talking about your parents, okay, mom and dad. There's one side of your family where you've lost a lot more people than the other. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's like I'm seeing all these different souls standing on one side of you. And I try to split mom and dad so they stand on either side of you, and then all the relatives got to stand around them. And it's just like there's all these people on one side. So is there someone in particular that you want to hear from?
Yeah, my brother and my sister.
Okay, all right. So your sister keeps showing me daisies for some reason. Does that have any significance for you?
No.
Okay, I'm just going to keep going. If you have a pen and paper, I would urge you to write down what I'm saying. And it's like I talked to Terry last week. Some of the things you might be able to validate after we hang up the phone, okay? So, you know, it could be, you know, when I was a kid, you would make daisy chains and, you know, then people would get tattoos of daisies and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to say how this fits because she's not really showing it to me. She just keeps showing me daisies. She's just handing me daisies. So let me see if she's got something else to say, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so she's acknowledging three big events that happened recently for you. So either birthdays or anniversaries. It's like they happened in a row. She's saying, like with family, okay? So, like, you know, sometimes you'll have a month where there'll be like five birthdays.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, wow, I really got to save up for that. But she's acknowledging three different big events. So birthdays, anniversaries. I mean, I know we just had graduation season, but something there were three of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let me see what else she has. She's talking about not wanting to rock the boat. And this feels like it's actually, oh my gosh, I'm not sure how this fits, but it feels like it's attached to her death, either what happened right before or...
Oh my God.
Okay. So that's just an acknowledgement so that you understand I'm channeling her. Okay. So I don't mean to upset you, but... She is coming through and showing me that. So let me see what else she has to say, okay? So she wants to apologize to you because she is showing me an image, and they'll do this with me where they'll show me images that actually I'm just supposed to talk about what they mean. And it's like you're carrying super heavy rocks, and she's like, she's always carried the heavy load. She's always carried the heavy load, and I just want her to set it down and not have to carry the heavy load anymore. So whatever that load is, you know, she's showing gratitude and also showing concern because, you know, she doesn't want it to affect you adversely. So whatever you did for her, she's saying thank you, but you can let go of the load. It's all over now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's super. Oh. Brother's patting her on the back.
Oh.
That's cute. It's like, he's like, yeah, that was the right thing to say. So he's supporting her, supporting you, which is really awesome. So let me see what he has to say, okay? He's acknowledging that he had something in his possession that he owned that he shouldn't have.
I don't know. That I have something that I shouldn't have?
No. When he was alive, there's something he had in his possession that he regrets owning.
Oh.
So you may have to think about that, or it may come to you, but I don't want to say it over the air, okay? So, just know, it's not that it's illegal, it's that it's a private matter. And so, he just doesn't, that's more private. Let me see if he can give me something else, okay? Did he have a problem with his lungs or his throat? Because he's doing a lot of coughing.
He's
showing me coughing. So, I don't know, he may have been a smoker. I know when I was a smoker, I coughed a lot, and then I would joke and say, I guess I need to change brands and find one that doesn't make me cough. So that's what he's doing right now. He's just acknowledging that he had a cough when he was alive.
Uh-huh. Well, I got a cough.
Aw. Well, yeah. The other thing he's acknowledging is shoes. So I don't know if there was some kind of issue over shoes. If he was buried and somebody had to pick out a funeral outfit and they were wishing he had a different pair of shoes, or they went out and bought shoes or something.
Right.
Because it's all about, like, I only had certain kinds of shoes and, you know.
Uh-huh.
So he's talking about that. He's really kind of in generalities. Do you have any questions?
Is there anything else about me that I should know?
Okay, well, you need to relieve some stress in your life, for sure. Know that you've only done the best you could. You know, having a lot of regrets doesn't help us. It just makes us feel down. And, you know, so I would ask you, have your angels take your regrets away. Ask your angels to take your regrets away. And be able to just enjoy what's in front of you, because we can't go back in time. So that's really huge for you today, but let me see what else they have, okay?
Okay.
Oh. So do you have a porch you sit on and you rock in a rocking chair?
Yeah, I rock in a rocking chair sometimes.
Okay, well, if you can take it outside, or you have some kind of a lawn chair, you know how some of those lawn chairs will glide back and forth? They're showing me that getting out, get the fresh air, especially in the morning when it's cooler, okay? They're wanting you to get out.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Alice. I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Just know that your brother and sister are okay, and they're seeing what's going on.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome, hon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I have about 14 minutes left with Psychic Barbara Wagner, but we do this every Wednesday from 12:15 to 1 o'clock here on WWGH Radio. Remember, if the phone is ringing busy, it just means we're on the line with somebody else. So try back, 740-383-9944. About 14 minutes left with Barbara right now, 740-383-9944. But what I was saying there, but I don't know what drives people to put a negative comment, because why don't they just pass it by?
So, you know, really, nowadays, the internet has given people a bigger forum to spread happiness or nastiness, you know, and so pre-internet days, you know, I'm thinking even 90s when not everybody had computers and everything, you didn't have, I mean, that was when they kind of started chat rooms and stuff, but most people didn't get on them. So if you came across somebody in your life who was negative or grumpy or whatever, you would just kind of do, oh, well, they're grumpy, or they had a bad day, or what's going on with them, you know, and then you'd go about your business. But now we've got this giant platform, you know, where everybody can go on. And so I have a YouTube channel, but I have blocked comments.
People get nasty.
Because they get paid to do that.
Well, see, but I don't understand what it is about people that are they trying to hurt you? Because I never understood that. Because criticism is okay. Because I consider that I can use
constructive.
Yeah, I can understand constructive. But if you attack me on something that I know is not true, you know, that doesn't bother me. That's okay. Well, just whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm getting power. It's an adrenaline rush. It's like, let's leave this comment and see what kind of a reaction we can get. And so some people are really good at tearing down those types of people and pushing them away. I don't like to engage in that way, so I just have blocked comments, because my videos are there to help you You can like them or not like them. I don't care. You don't have to look at them. You can go about your business, but I don't need your validation, and I also don't need your criticism. It is what it is. Take it or leave it. But there are people who literally just get a kick. You know, it's like, why do people kick their dogs? Do you really need to kick a dog? That's just ridiculous. No, you don't need to kick a dog. But that's what they're doing. They're just trying to kick people to get reactions. And it's a power trip because they get an adrenaline rush.
But I wish for a moment they could see how much it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, because it's not done face to face.
Yeah. I mean, that always baffles me when people are criticized. And they know that the criticism is not valid, but yet they harbor that so heavily. Well, if somebody says something untrue about me, I think, oh, okay.
Right. You can have that. It's not the truth. Everybody that knows me knows it's not true. Yeah. So,
About 5 seconds.
I was talking to my husband about this last night. I mean, there's a lot of sour grapes in the world, you know, where they're just like, I can't have anything good, or I can't have anything nice, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, so they're going to attack people who do. That's not fair either.
No, it's a strange dichotomy. And I think the internet has allowed it to really be prevalent because I think they're maybe showing other people, I guess.
Well, one of the actually good things about it is people are showing their true selves.
Well, that's what I always wonder, because when I see somebody, when it doesn't have to do with me, when I see somebody posting sour grapes about something else, the first thing I immediately think is, I think, you have some kind of bone to pick. Why did you do that?
Right.
That's why it'll come back to elections, but when people write books about people who are in the public eye, and they're negative books, immediately, I don't believe them. Because, first of all, you had to have liked that person at some point to get that much access to them if your stuff is true. And then what was your motive? Because you didn't have to write a book.
Right.
You didn't have to write a book about the negativity of that person. So, I mean, there are tons of stuff I know about people from radio, behind the scenes things of how they act. I've never went around and said, well, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Because why? Why do that?
Right. So, you know, a lot of times you'll see the politicians do that right before elections come up, or they're going to run for president, or they've left politics and they're trying to start a new career. And so I'm the same way. When I see these people who write books and they come on TV, I'm like, oh, okay, there's an ulterior motive here. What's their next step in life? They're just trying to promote themselves. And then the media spends all this time focused on it. And, you know, I think most people are like, we're so inundated. You know, we're just so inundated, we're burned out, and we just don't even want to have to look at it anymore.
Well, it's funny, and that we just had a presidential election, but we can go back to any of those. The majority of people who vote for people have never met those people.
Right.
Never met those two people that we get
right.
as choices. So everything they know is something somebody else wrote or something that somebody else said. I don't know that that's reality.
Right.
So I don't know why we don't look more at people's records in life, because that is true.
Right. Look at the voting record when they were in office.
Look at the record.
And what they've done.
And what they've done in private life.
Right.
That is factual.
Right.
Not what somebody else said.
Right.
They did. But that's where people get their information. I think I've said this before, but during the last presidential election, it was very nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Nasty, but not by the two people, honestly. I mean, they attacked each other some, but it was the people.
Separating us.
Yeah, if people, if you liked one of those candidates, Trump or Hillary, you hated the other one.
Right.
It wasn't just that you preferred one over the other. You hated the other one. To the point where one or the other wanted to throw the other person in jail. It got to that point.
Right.
And two or three days before the election, after having all the people on, you know, the Madeleine Albrights, the Roger Stones on both sides, who said the other person was horrible, I came to the conclusion that one person is somebody's grandfather, one person is somebody's grandmother. I don't know these people. This has went way too far.
Right, right. So a lot of it is supporting your belief. You know, so the people who are enamored of certain candidates, they are looking to get their beliefs supported. And so the people around them are like, yeah, we support it too. We all have the same beliefs. So getting back to belief systems and how you can get so entrenched and not being able to separate emotion, because they're very emotional things, right? And see, like you're saying, to see facts, you have to take the emotion away. And you have to say, well, what about this one thing? You know, you voted opposite of that, and now you're saying the other thing. So how is that supposed to make sense to me? That kind of thing is not what happened. You know, we missed all of that in the media. And so unless you have time to really sit and dig through everything, there are fact-checking sites. There are actually some good newspapers, but you got to take the time to follow them and read them.
Well, the media has been brought into this as a heavy scapegoat, I think, in a way, because the media is supposed to be objective, not subjective.
Right.
And we are objective for the most part, but people want us to be subjective. Well, if you say something, you got to say, let's see here. Oop, I think we lost that call. Well, if that was you, call back. 740-383-9944. Psychic Barbara Wagner will be here for about another 5 minutes. But the objectivity of it was, you're supposed to just say what happened.
Well, and we need to bring back fairness in journalism. That law was repealed. And ever since that law was repealed, we've seen the rise of what I call, like, mega media. And that's dividing people, where, you know, when I grew up and you watch TV, both sides would come on the news and you had to have a representative from both sides. And whether or not it's the best person from either side really didn't matter, but at least both sides were represented.
You know, I'm not sure if that's right, though, because I think that's where we get lost. I think that's where we are now, because I think if you do a story in the media now, let's say you do any story on the president.
Right.
You do a story. Then you've got to bring a person from who doesn't like the president on, and you've got to bring a person who does like the president on, and then they talk for 20 minutes about what actually happened. The point is what actually happened.
Right.
That's the news.
Right.
And that's where I think we've become subjective. We would never do that in sports. If there's a baseball game last night and the Cubs win 3-2 over the Dodgers, we don't come on the next day and say, okay, well, let's bring somebody on from the Cubs and let's bring somebody on from the Dodgers, and the Cubs are going to argue that they won 3-2 and the Dodgers are going to argue they won 3-2. No, the fact is,
in fact, with that analogy, that's really good, because usually what they'll do is if they interview the coaches or players, they'll say, well, this is where we went wrong.
Right.
And this is what we needed to do better.
Right. Now, there are issues where you can do sides, but not facts.
Right.
And they're doing subjective opinions on issues are fine.
Right.
Subjective issues. The facts are not subjective.
Right.
You can't say that somebody did such and such and then have people argue if that happened.
Right.
It happened.
Right.
And people have to stop being subjective. And I think that's where everything has went awry, because the media, I do see them being more objective, but now people just say, well, they're telling stories.
Right.
If it doesn't fit what they like.
Right. Again, supporting belief.
Yeah. So I don't know what you do with that, but I think it's awful interesting.
I think it's a cycle that we're going through.
I hope it ends soon.
It will. I mean, not soon maybe, but it'll end and there'll be something to replace it. The question is it going to be better or worse? And so again, is that subjective?
Well, you used to be able to do a shin issue, and you'd say, here is what happened. And then you could talk about what happened.
Right.
You didn't have to change the facts about what happened.
Right.
Now, well, I don't even believe that happened. Well, that doesn't really solve the problem.
Right.
And that's not helping anybody.
No, it's not. It's not.
So I don't know. I think it's just a very bizarre situation. But, you know, you do what you do, I guess.
Right, right. It's, you know, people have to either wake up or get left behind, I guess.
Well, that's it. And I guess I always tell people, if you believe something is false, then it's probably because you agree with it.
Right.
You know, you disagree with it. That's when you believe it's false. So I think that is possibly one of the most fascinating things. Okay, caller, go ahead. You're on the air.
All right. I don't know when your next break is, so
about
I don't know what you're. What are you talking about today?
Oh, we're just actually the break's coming up here in about 30 seconds. So if you want to call back in about 15 minutes, we'll put a new topic up there.
Okay.
We are running out of time, but every Wednesday, Barbara Wagner is with us, and she takes your calls on anything. Make contact with somebody who's no longer here, love, life, future, anything. 740-383-9944. That's every Wednesday from 12:15 until 1 o'clock right here on WWGH Radio. It's been fun, Barbara, as always.
Thank you.
Until next week. Stay tuned. Next hour, we have actor James Caron via telephone. So stay tuned. We'll be back in 10 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The talk.